5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello, welcome to another Tech Talk with me, Stephen Scott, here at RNIB. I say at RNIB, what I really mean is at home at RNIB. That's how it works these days. Yep, still at home, Tech Talk coming to you from my little studio in my little house just outside Glasgow. Robin Christofferson with us once again. Still in Warwick, are you?
I am. Loving every minute of it, yeah, at home from AbilityNet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love how you get the English right. I just say words and hope that they fall into a sentence that makes sense. Andy Wynn's also here. He's in his house as well. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Stephen. That's going to be the title of your autobiography, isn't it? Just saying words and hope they make sense.
Yeah, pretty much it, yeah. But yeah, I'm here. We're all here. That's the good news. Well, I think it's good news. I'm glad about it. I will say this. I'm quite warm in my little studio today. And this is a problem when you record from home. We don't have the fancy air conditioning in the studio. So you are going to hear the fan noise in the background. Get over it, okay? There, I said it. Right, okay.
I haven't got my fan on.
Have you not?
I'm dedicated. No, I'm just sort of sweltering.
Oh, that's just disgraceful. Well, put the fan on. Don't sit there and sweat. That's a horrible image.
Actually, I don't sweat. It's part of my condition. Not a single drop.
Do you know?
We can talk about that some
other day. I feel the need for some kind of handbrake sound effect here. What? You don't? I actually know this because you've told me this before, but I forgot that.
I've got trainers from before I was married, 20 odd years ago, and they smell like new.
Wow.
Yeah, but sweating actually performs a function, so you should be glad, and I should put my fan on.
Was it Prince Andrew who said he didn't sweat? Remember doing that whole thing and he said, oh, I don't sweat, and everybody laughed.
Yeah.
Because it's a thing, and everybody laughed. And I remember thinking at the time, my mate Robin doesn't sweat.
Yeah.
I know it's a very weird way to bring that up, but, you know, it's true. You don't sweat. But you're obviously, that can't be good for you. I don't think that can be good for you.
No, and if I get too hot, I can really suffer. If my core gets too hot, which it does before other people, then I kind of get heat stroke and stuff. So, yeah.
Okay, well, we better get on with the recording then. please turn the fan on. Right, okay. Look, we've got lots to talk about. I am annoyed this week, though. I am in a bit of a mood this week. You might not notice the difference. I don't know. But I tell you why I'm annoyed. Because I got myself... Now, Robin knows this story, Andy knows this story, and I'm going to tell you, dear listener, the story, because I've bored everyone else to death with this. I was toying around with getting a new MacBook Air, the brand new one. I think I mentioned this last week, that I was about to get a used one. I decided to get a second-hand one from 2017, because I thought, well, there's no point spending all the money that I'd need to spend to get the kind of power I want, you know, and really probably not still get what I need. Because the MacBook Air, for example, for video editing, a lot of reviews are saying don't buy it for video editing. It's not got the power in it. It heats up too much and it can't handle its own heat. A bit like yourself, Robin. sorry to bring you up on that. But there's that. And then, of course, there's the MacBook Pro, which then starts about $1,299. You know, to get a really decent MacBook Pro, you're looking at about $1,799. The price just starts to get crazy. So I managed to pick this one up for £600, bought it from a charity who recondition and refurbish machines, and then that money gets used to help countries in the third world, and also to, you know, to essentially help with education and provide, you know, essentially new or older laptops to those countries. So it's a really worthwhile thing. And I thought, right, I'm going to do this instead. Recycle, don't buy new, okay? So get my MacBook Air 13, very excited, arrives by courier, and I open it all up and turn it on. And what I love about it is, even though it's 2017, I'll be honest, it may be covered in scratches, but to me there's not a mark on it. And it seems fine, smells like freshness, smells like your trainers.
Like my trainers.
Yeah, exactly. And I was so excited, turns it on, gets it all up and running, and asks for my Wi-Fi password. So I go to put in my password, which is a combination of numbers and letters, and I try to put in the first couple of numbers. Nothing. Doesn't work. Keyboard's not working. Now every letter is working, all the punctuation's working, all the other buttons are working, the escape's working, the function keys. The number row, not working at all.
Yikes.
So I'm like, okay, that's a bit weird. So I immediately onto Google, not using that computer, obviously. So I go onto Google and I find that there's a lot of people who found this problem, and it's actually an accessibility thing. You can turn on slow keys, and that actually can disable that number row. I'm not quite sure why you need that or what that would do, but okay. So that's a thing, and that can actually be a problem. Some people turn on mouse keys, which apparently has an impact. I think it must change certain rows to do certain things, a bit like what we've talked about before with Braille input on QWERTY keyboards.
The mouse keys require a number pad to drive in those kind of ordinal directions, and the 5 is a click, so maybe the number row is acting as the number pad and it's being hijacked.
So I decide, okay, well, that's clearly the case. Now, I could have spent ages going back and forth, but I couldn't really get much to work. I couldn't get the Wi-Fi password in, so I couldn't really get much further through the setup process. So I just decided, right, I will completely reset this computer, reset it, put, you know, using internet recovery, reloaded up High Sierra, which is the first OS that goes on that, or the last OS that you would put on before Catalina in this case. And I get it all up and running, and it still doesn't work. So, so then I got, start forming again, and as I'm forming around, I don't know if that's a word, but I'm using it now, I find that someone says, oh yeah, that's a water problem. Someone's dropped liquid in the keyboard, and that's caused a problem. So basically, it's now pretty much useless to me. However, thankfully, the wonderful charity I go to, they've said, look, if you just send it back to us, they're going to pay for a courier to pick it up, take it back, get it fixed, and send it back out to me. So I'm not going to have it instantly, but I was a bit annoyed at the start, to be honest, because I was all excited about it. Nothing worse than when you get new tech and you can't play with it, Robin.
Yeah, and you've put so much time and effort into trying to sort it out as well, and
I
now
know.
You're going to be without it.
Mm. And you guys have had to listen to this.
So the only thing that works right now is the Turbo Scrub.
The Turbo Scrub? Which, by the way, 20 quid of joy. I mean, honestly, that thing cleans up like no end. My spinning toilet head works amazing.
You should have tried that on the number row.
Maybe that was a problem.
Magic.
Yeah. Give it a clean. Because they do say fluff gets in. This is the thing. I chose this computer for the very reason I didn't want to buy one of the older MacBook Airs, because of the stupid keyboards they had. And now I've got one that's with a keyboard that doesn't work. I feel I'm being punished somewhere, and I'm not quite sure why. But anyway, aside all that, there are other things going on in the world, believe it or not. And let's get into some
news
of them.
News from the internet.
Yeah, let's start with some news, because Robin, you've been really busy, of course, with Global Accessibility Awareness Day last week. You've been working really hard because we tried to talk to you and you kept ignoring us. So we knew you must be busy.
Yeah.
So
it was non-stop. It was supposed to be guard. It's supposed to end in a D for day, but it was a whole week of intense activities, events, webinars, blog posts, all that sort of thing. So, yeah, there was an awful lot that went on. And a few announcements that came out as a result. And this week's busy as well.
Yeah, well, that's right. Microsoft has its Ability Summit coming up, which I must admit, I'm quite excited by. I've never really paid much attention to this before. I don't really know why. But this year, I want to, you know, soak this in and really get a sense of what Microsoft are doing in the accessibility space. I think the problem for a lot of people is that when we talk about this, people are kind of coming to... Because I think people come to this show to get the kind of headline here, to get the story, to get the what this is all about and how this will actually impact the real person, right? As opposed to when we get into all the technical corporate stuff that means nothing to me and probably nothing to most people. So, you know, when we get the information from Ability Summit, we will be, you know, dissecting that and really kind of looking for those tangible things that will make a difference to all of us. I mean, I think for me, there are a lot of things that Microsoft could do to improve, of course. But, you know, they're heading in the right direction. And we don't know much about what's going to be said at Ability Summit, of course. But I think what the great news is, Robin, that thing itself is actually happening. It's actually going on. That's big. That is great that we've got that.
It really is. And given such prominence as well, such high profile. So there's going to be, I mean, anyone is free to sign up. So you'll be hearing this probably earlier on in the week. So you may still want to see which sessions are still available. And I'm sure they're not all going to be available online afterwards as well. So yeah, we'll have a lot to bring back from that. Hopefully juicy stuff around what the future's going to hold with regards to products and their accessibility. But yeah, I should also mention Apple, they don't do Guard. They do Accessibility Awareness Month, according to the only press release that I've seen so far that's related to accessibility awareness around this time. And that was saying that there's going to be a new section in the iOS App Store, maybe macOS as well, I'm not sure, all about apps for accessibility. And you will be able to get a curated list of apps that are either accessible themselves and, have really gone to town on the accessibility, so they're, to be praised for that, or ones that have an accessibility feature, like Roger Voice is one that springs to mind and I think was mentioned in the article, which is a live transcribe for phone calls app, a bit like Live Transcribe, which Google announced an update to this week as well. There have been a couple of Google announcements which we could talk about. Last week during Guard, or it's not really a day, it's a whole week. Oh my goodness, I'm traumatized.
You're so tired with that, aren't you? You're still tired.
I must have presented in a dozen different things, and it was, and all the bits in between. So yes, we could talk about Google, for example. They have updated their maps. I suspect this is just starting in the US to flag wheelchair accessibility, which I think is a brilliant addition.
Now, I heard this was coming, so that's going to be in the next release, is it?
Yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic. Because and what we're talking about here, what are we talking here? Places where there are, for example, wheelchair accessible toilets. Because I know there's been a lot of talk about this, where they're essentially mapping the world to see what's accessible for someone in a wheelchair.
Yeah. So ramps up into a building. I'm going to say elevators. I'm so tired. Lifts to floors instead of having to use stairs, etc. And obviously accessible bathroom facilities. So yeah, that's really good. I'm not even aware if Google Maps offer pedestrian routes. I mentioned this last time, I think, that, if I search for a route home when I'm on the other side of... We have two canals and a river in Warwick, so pick your bridge, any bridge. If you stand on the other side away from your home and you want to get home and you use any of those GPS map things, then it won't take you across the bridge. It'll take you via the road route. So I'm still looking for that. And if anyone listening knows about any sat-nav apps that really know about pedestrian-only routes, I'm talking about pedestrian bridges here. I'm not talking about road bridges. That, I think, would be a huge advance for us as blind pedestrian pavement users.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that would be amazing. I mean, I know there are things. I mean, obviously Blind Square is a good example of technology to help you get around or navigate, or at least know what's around you, I think. But yeah, it is that navigation, isn't it? It's not quite the same.
As soon as you ask Blind Square to plan the route for you, then it pops up something saying, which app do you want to use? Yeah. Do you want to use Google Maps, Waze, Maps, etc.? So yeah, I'm not aware of one. Hopefully people might know of one, because I would really be interested in that. One other notable thing that Google announced last week is activity blocks for the Google Assistant. Now, this is exactly like Siri Shortcuts. Uh-huh. It's interesting that they announced it in an accessibility release. So they're saying that, assign a voice command and the Google Assistant will go away and do X, Y, and Z. And this could include smart home, Google Home connected devices. And you can do a lot of things through your voice now, exactly the way you can with Siri Shortcuts. And they're called activity blocks, just like when you're building a Siri a shortcut using the Shortcuts app. You can basically put blocks, you can chain steps together and make...
The kind of if this, then that type approach to it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. But the twist here is that one aspect of it is that you can have a big button, a great big sized button. So there's a kind of a motor impairment angle here too. So if people want to not drive it by voice, but, you know, bring up their virtual assistant and have a great big button on the screen to tap to do whatever the routine is, then they can do that too. So watch out for Google's activity blocks and, yeah, see what people are making of them in the weeks to come.
No, that sounds good. I like that. And I like the way they're developing it. I mean, one thing I always criticize Google Nest or Google Home or whatever they call it this week is the fact that it's not like the Amazon Echo in the sense that you don't have those skills in a way. All of them seem to be there. It's almost as if they're already enabled. That's how I often think about the Google Home or the Google Nest Mini, for example, where, you know, everything's actually already enabled. You don't have to do anything. Whereas with the Amazon Echo, you have to enable a skill. And in some ways, I kind of like that because you've got the ability to, or the knowledge to know, right, this is what I want to do. This is available to me. Whereas on Google Home, I have absolutely no idea what I can do with it because there's so much I can do potentially. But no, this is good. This is good. And this can allows us to customize our smart devices in a really good way. And yeah, I can see the benefits of that from someone with physical impairments or issues clicking a button or you know, or using their voice to do something they would rather you do it physically. Should we talk about Apple Glass?
Hey.
I thought that would wake you up. Yeah, this is an interesting one, isn't it? Because Apple, there's a rumor. There's a guy, John Prosser, who's been suggesting that there may well be Apple Glass at some point. Well, we kind of knew this. I mean, this isn't news that there's going to be Apple Glass, but what he's been getting into is the weeds on how it will actually work. Heads-up display, for example. I imagine some kind of, you know, Bluetooth or some kind of hearing capability, audio capability in there as well. I don't know what that would be, mind you, whether it would be sort of Bose-like, as in like the Bose frames, or something that actually was in your ear. How that would work, I don't know. But it does sound like it's quite an interesting project. No camera, though, according to John Prosser. Instead, it will have a LiDAR sensor.
Yeah.
Which I'm hoping
will do the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and of course, I go back to this point time and time again. Privacy is the key here. And, you know, for a lot of people, they're not going to want to buy a product where you can walk down the street and essentially film what's going on around about you. I don't think that's a good world to end up in. So the sensor, which is actually in the iPad Pro, might be the answer to that. Now, are you excited by this? Is this, because, I mean, we're, you know, as soon as I heard, oh, it's not got a camera, I was a bit kind of, oh, all right, okay. What do you think?
Does a squirrel collect nuts? I am super excited.
I imagine they probably do, yeah.
I nearly went for a bear metaphor, but I'm not going there.
Yeah, I don't do that
one, no. Yeah, they don't collect nuts, no.
No. Supremely excited. Now, it's funny because we talked to Christopher Patnaud, didn't we, towards the end of last year, and he was at pains to say that they're working on something that also doesn't have a camera, but it's very, very similar. And this is obviously what we're looking at here with this LiDAR. So it will throw out lasers and it will kind of dot trace or ray trace the environment. Obviously, the further away the object, the fewer dots will be scattered on it and the less information that will come back. So it's going to be really accurate, sort of within 3 to 5 meters, say. I'm hoping it's going to be accurate enough to recognize objects and that sort of thing. Because it's not a camera, obviously OCR is out and that sort of thing, but I'm really hoping object recognition, potentially even facial recognition, although that's going to be a hot topic for them that they want to avoid, may still be possible. But the reason why this LiDAR is there is because these heads-up displays that are in each lens that will give you information, you know, bring up your messages and all that sort of thing, I'm sure will also have an AR component. And that's the only reason why they would have this LiDAR sensor on there facing forward, so that they can map the world and overlay information, you know, give you an arrow pointing it to your intersection or to the tube entrance, etc., or to maybe a shop and that sort of thing. So, you know, they would be able to give you context sensitive information. So to be able to do that, they need to know what's going on around them, and we will be able to use that too. So I am really, really excited. And John Prosser gave quite a bit of information away about what they look like. They're sleek, they're light. They won't have the full gubbins in them. It's not going to be like a mobile phone on your face. It is going to be a headset or, you know, a peripheral, an accessory to your phone, which I really like, because let's keep the battery down. Let's keep the power consumption down and the weight, etc. Let's just make them an accessory. I'm sure they're going to have sound in as well. He didn't mention that. But they've got to, haven't they? They've got to have the ability to, you know, unless they want to sell AirPods at the same time. But you would look a bit silly if you had glasses and AirPods. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I know, I agree. It's got to have audio in there somehow. Yeah. Who knows what that'll look like or what that will be like. But the rumour mill from John Prosser, and John tends to get things right a lot, and he seems to have a lot of information this time around. I think also the thing that stood out for me was the price, Robin. These aren't going to be breaking the bank. Well, okay, they're not. Let's just buy one now. Let's not think about it. It is, of course, a considered purchase. But, you know, I was kind of imagining the price to be around £1,000 or even £2,000 for these. Maybe £1,500 or so.
Yep.
Well, that's right. Yeah, exactly. So kind of in that range, thinking about that, thinking about the technology that's in there, that would be the case. But no. In fact, it might even be half of £1,000, possibly, in dollars anyway.
Well, which will probably equate to, you know, circa £500, because it's usually pound for dollar, isn't it? Yeah, so he has so much information. He thinks they're going to announce them in October. He thinks that the September event is going to be pushed to October when they announce the different iPhone 12 ranges, etc.
Is this because you think they're going to hold it back in order to have an actual event rather than have an online event? Because surely at that point, even though they're not going to manage that.
I think they're planning for an online event, but I think that the supply chain has been delayed slightly. So they don't want to announce it in September and say it's not available till November, because that's not their style.
They don't want to say here's another AirPower mat.
Yeah. So I think that, he says they're going to be announced in October, but they may not come until either Q1, Q2, or potentially even that in 2021, or potentially even Q1 2022, but he was very sceptical about that. So, announced in October, coming sometime next year, and I can live with that.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I mean, Andy, from your point of view, right? I mean, let's just take the blindness out of this for a minute, because, you know, obviously we talk about the technology from that perspective, from our perspective. But, you know, do these appeal to you? Because I often find. And I'm not preempting your answer, but I'm just thinking I speak to a lot of sighted people who just aren't keen or don't see the point in things like this.
And just imagine that you're an iPhone user for a second.
Oh, yeah, I'll have to do that as well.
Now, this is a sticking point, because I wouldn't be able to get one of these and have it work, because I don't want to get back into the Apple ecosystem again. But that aside...
Shocking.
yes, but that aside, yeah, these do interest me. But it's going to... I think these are still, you're talking 5, 6, 7 years away from being wow, sort of, you know, a wow product. As I've said before to you guys, you never buy the version 1 of anything, do you? Remember what the version 1 of everything that's happened in, especially in the Apple world, V1 and anything, no, wait until V2, wait until V3 comes out. So these do interest me, but it's going to take something special for me to get back into the Apple world, so to speak. But then again, this has opened up, so maybe something from Samsung will come next. Maybe Google Glass will reappear. Then, yes, then I'm interested. And I might even start wearing my glasses more.
I must say, I think Samsung are, you know, they're such an interesting company, Samsung, because they're so quiet in a lot of ways in their development. Yet a lot of their technology, and I will say this, it's interesting, a lot of specialist products you buy, desktop video magnifiers, what was that thing I thought of the other day? And I thought, that's Samsung as well. There was a lot of different products I was thinking about that had Samsung at the heart of them, be it a simple tablet that they use with the technology inside, or whether it be something more specific. They're at the heart of a lot of interesting technology with accessibility at its heart, and we don't tend to talk about that very much. But no, Samsung, great, and I will say this as well, I think I've said it before, but I'll say it again because I think it's just worth repeating, that the experience I had with the Samsung Galaxy S10 Plus, I think it's called, that was a great phone. And for someone who's got low vision, it's probably the best phone you could get to be able to enable the text size to get up where it needs to be.
That's the one.
I always wondered if you could do that with a tablet, but I don't know if you can.
I probably went for that one as well, as you're well aware, because you were in the shop with me, Stephen, and it wasn't until
forcing you to buy something.
Yeah, going for the Huawei instead. Can I also add that? So this product is called Apple Glass, rumoured to be called Apple Glass, but this is from a company known for putting I in front of everything. So why is this not the eyeglass?
Eyeglasses. In America, spectacles are called eyeglasses.
Yeah. So this is a. But then again, I suppose the watch wasn't. It's not the iWatch, is it? Technically, it's just the Apple Watch. So they've drifted away.
It's interesting. It's interesting you bring up the watch because I was reading an article this week which kind of talked about this, and it said, you know, think back to the first Apple Watch. It didn't do everything that it can do now. In fact, it did not much of what it could do now. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how Apple works. And I agree with you, Andy. I think it's important that you probably don't jump into... well, okay, other people don't jump in first.
Yeah, you will,
with
yeah.
this one. I will obviously be wearing them on day one. I'll be in the queue for them for sure.
Yeah.
If there is such a thing anymore.
And I can't criticize
I'll be in the virtual
you.
Queue.
I can't criticize you for that because I was in the queue for one of the very first iPhones. I was in the Apple ecosystem, but I drifted out of it. So I fully understand the people that will want to be queuing around the block for these type of things. And believe me, they will.
Well, it will be a long queue anyway because everyone's 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
So it'll be an even longer queue this time.
And if they don't have their glasses on, they could be queuing out outside any shop. So, yeah.
That's right. Exactly. Make sure you get your prescription in there. But yeah, it's such an interesting product idea. And I often feel if the mainstream don't like it, we've got a problem. And we've had this conversation a lot about driverless cars, where you get a lot of drivers who'll say, I don't want my car taken away from me. I want to be able to drive where I want. I like driving. And my argument is, well, of course, you know, that's fine. But, you know, for the rest of us who can't drive, we'd like an option. It'd be a bit like saying, well, there shouldn't be any taxis because, you know, everyone can just drive wherever they want. They just buy a car and go somewhere. It would be ridiculous. Why do we need these things called taxis and people in them to drive them? Well, it's the same thing for me. It's because not all of us can drive, want to drive, or some people just want to go out on a Friday night, have a drink, and get home safely. You know, it's just stuff like that. So, you know, I think once we get the mainstream on board with it, I think that's good. And I think the lack of a camera will help that happen.
I said this in our little WhatsApp group that I think the reason why this has leaked, and John Prosser can say that, I don't know if he's got an insider or whatever it may be, but I think this is maybe a little scheduled wink, wink, link type thing. You know, it's let's see how the public react to this. And it's so far away from being potentially launched, they've gone, look, Google Glass didn't do very well in the public's eye. Let's see what the reaction is now.
But then again, there are many people who will say, and I'm one of them, who'll say, well, you know, Google did it and that's fine. I'll hang on and see what Apple come up with. Because it's almost because Apple do take the time, they don't rush a product out in order just to get the product out. They take their time and they do make sure, even if it isn't the full product by the time it's out, as in maybe exactly what we all want, at least the concept they put out works. And when it comes to market, you think, actually, I'm buying a product I can trust in. And that another thing for us, Robin, is accessibility. And we know how Apple consider app accessibility. So I'm not concerned at all about how these will be accessible or what that will even mean.
Yeah. I mean, so, obviously we won't get much out of the heads-up displays, but I really do think these are going to be popular. You know, we all love looking at our smartphones. I'm talking about we as in the whole world.
Yeah.
And to have the option of not even having to take anything out or, you know, even move your arm or whatever, they just appear in your vision is really useful. But yeah, you mentioned about accessibility and colour contrast is a really important thing for people with a vision impairment. And the way that you get around that on apps and web pages is by choosing the background and foreground colours. But if this is a heads-up display that you're looking through, then it's not going to have a background, it's just going to have text. So the only way you can guarantee the background and foreground are contrasting enough is to actually put a solid background. So people might suddenly stop, you know, stand still in the, you know, as they're walking along because they've got a notification and they've got their accessibility settings such that it actually fills in the background as well. And they just get completely obscured vision by the glasses going in effect, you know, fully white with some text on, for example. So,
just make sure you're not doing 70 down the motorway at the time.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know how they're going to juggle with all of those. There's actually going to be some very new accessibility challenges with this new platform. So I'm really, really excited. This is the first time we've actually had some concrete information about what they look like, what they're going to offer. And go and search for his name, John Prosser. Listen to the video. He is supremely confident that this is going to happen.
Oh, he is someone to be trusted. Yeah, he was pretty accurate about the iPhone SE. Yeah, this guy is known in the industry as being someone who is in the Apple leaks game.
This person, John, and also is it Ming Chi-Kuo?
Chi-Kuo.
And that is that person is absolutely on the ball as well. But I think a lot of that information comes from the supply chain because of the kind of information that is coming out. Yep. But very interesting stuff. Okay, look, I'm going to give your voice a rest for a second, Robin, because you sound tired. I feel sorry for you today.
I am.
You are tired. Well, look, I'm going to I'm actually going to give you a break by creating a virtual version of you. And that is because you recorded for us a fantastic little demonstration of how to, well, not, a number of things actually about games, but also how to use your Amazon Echo as a Bluetooth speaker. And that's where we're going to start with your 3-in-1 demo, Robin.
Hey guys, we are going to do a 3-in-1 demo here. So buckle up and let's go. The first thing I'm going to show is how you can easily connect your phone to your Echo. Alexa, connect my phone.
Searching. Now connected to Robin's iPhone.
There you go. Now, by default, because of AirPlay, the new update to AirPlay in iOS, if I use VoiceOver now,
BBC Sounds, LinkedIn, 18, CNAI.
I don't know if you can hear that, but it's still coming through the phone. And if I play media, there you go, the media is coming through the Echo. Now I've got the Echo plugged into the mixer, which is why you can hear it clearly like that. So you can play things very easily from your phone. I was just doing a magic tap there. But if you change the audio destination, then you can include VoiceOver into your Echo as well, if you like. Now I've set up a gesture. Instead of the rotor, I do a two-finger swipe right or left to go through the rotor. That's a top tip because the rotor's sometimes a bit tricky. So if I two-finger swipe to the right.
Actions. Audio destination.
Audio destination, and I flick down.
External audio route.
External audio route. Now it's coming through the Echo. Okay, guys, so that was tip number one, how you can easily connect to your Echo. And if it's the first time that you're connecting your phone, it will say searching. And then if it doesn't connect to the right one, you might need to say connect to Robin's iPhone and be a bit more specific. Great. The next thing I'm going to show you is how I'm loving driving iOS from the keyboard. So I'm not going to touch my phone again now. I've got the Logitech K380 here, which is a really nice keyboard which can connect up to three devices. I've got the Mac, I've got the iPad, and I've got my phone. And it's got a nice physical switch on the left-hand side for turning it on and off. And then F1, 2, and 3 connect to different devices. So I've got it connected to the phone. If I do VO right arrow.
Be my eyes. Wake up. Twitter.
There you go. It's quite fast. So let me do VO command. That's all three keys. And then right arrow.
Characters. Words. Headings.
Going through the rotor.
Hints. Vertical navigation. Speaking rate.
Speaking rate. Now if I keep those three keys down and press the down arrow.
75%, 70%, 65%, 60%, 55%.
Let's leave it at that. So you can control things via the rotor by holding those three modifier keys down and using the arrow keys. So what I'm going to show you now is my favorite game of the moment on iOS. It's called Frotts. I absolutely love this game. It's a text adventure game. I don't know how to use Siri from the keyboard. And as I say, I'm not going to touch my phone again. So let's do command space. This brings
Search
up.
Search an app button.
This is Spotlight. And if I type in Frotts,
F-R-O-T-Z. 18 items found. Top search result, Frotts.
Enter.
Browse IFDB button.
And now we're in Frotts.
Browse IFDB button.
Browse IFDB, that stands for Interactive Fiction Database. There are thousands of games you can play, guys. There are thousands. If I do VO right arrow.
Frotts. Settings button.
Settings button. Have a browse in there if you want.
Resume button.
Resume my game. Let's keep going.
Select a story. Search. Search field.
Select a story, and you can search for it if you've got dozens of stories that you've downloaded. But if I keep on going.
Recently played.
Recently
Heading.
Played.
Anchorhead button.
Anchorhead. This is the one that we're going to play. It comes with a couple of dozen already downloaded, including Zork. Zork is in there. So let's hit VO spacebar on Anchorhead.
N-C-H-O-R-A-T-A-D. Press R to restore, any other key to begin.
Press R to restore or any other key to begin. Let's hit enter.
November, you wonder how everything managed to happen so fast. The strange phone call over a month ago, from a lawyer claiming to represent the estate of some distant branch of Michael's family, was bewildering enough in itself, ellipsis, but then the sudden whirlwind of planning and decisions. Legal details and travel arrangements. A sullen belch emanates from the clouds, and the rain starts coming down harder, fat, cold drops smacking loudly against the cobblestones. With a sigh, you open your umbrella.
Okay then, so that was the kind of intro. I cut a bit out of the middle there because it was quite long. So we're in front of the estate agents, but if I just type look around.
Look around. Outside the real estate office, a grim little cul-de-sac, tucked away in a corner of the claustrophobic tangle of narrow, twisting avenues that largely constitute the older portion of Anchorhead. Like most of the streets in this city, it is ancient, shadowy, and leads essentially nowhere. The lane ends here at the real estate agent's office, which lies to the east, and winds its way back toward the center of town to the west. A narrow, garbage-choked alley opens to the southeast. Command greater than.
Let's try going to the estate agents with E for east.
E? Opening the real estate office door first, it seems to be locked. In the distance, you can hear the lonesome keening of a train whistle drifting on the wind. Command greater than.
Let's do I for inventory.
I? You are wearing your wedding ring, your trench coat and your clothes. In addition, you have in your hand your umbrella. The pockets of your trench coat are empty.
So Command we don't greater have the than. Key. So let's go SE to go into that alleyway.
So, alley, this narrow aperture between two buildings is nearly blocked with piles of rotting cardboard boxes and overstuffed garbage cans. Ugly, half-crumbling brick walls to either side totter oppressively over you. The alley ends here at a tall, wooden fence. High up on the wall of the northern building there is a narrow, transom-style window. Command greater than.
Okay, so we could try and go to the window. Let's do U for up.
U? The window is too high.
We need Command to put greater something than. Under the window. Let's examine the trash cans. Examine cans.
Examine cans. The metal garbage cans are stuffed to overflowing with slowly decomposing refuse.
Refuse.
Command greater than.
Push can under window.
Push can under window. Grunting and holding your breath, you manhandle one of the filthy cans under the window. Command greater than.
Get on can.
Get on can. You clamber onto the wobbling garbage can, precariously balanced. You can just reach the lower edge of the window from here.
I don't actually
know why. A sudden gust
why.
Of wind blows a cold spray of rain into your face.
We're going up Command towards greater this than. Window, but let's go up, you.
You, opening the transom window first, closing the umbrella first. It's a tight squeeze, but you just manage to wriggle through, dropping quietly to the floor inside. File room, peering through the murk, you can make out the blocky outlines of filing cabinets lining the walls and a doorway to the west. A window high up on the south wall lets in a very faint illumination.
That's command where we've just greater come than. In. And it's ready for another command. I'm going to leave it there, guys. Don't you love this sort of thing? So I haven't done anything other than just typing in commands. It's that friendly. It's really, really good to play. There are so many different games, whatever your genre. If you like this kind of thing, give it a go. So I haven't touched the screen at all. I've been doing it all from the keyboard. If I do VOH to go home.
Messages.
We're out of Frotts and back onto the home screen. Guys, enjoy Frotts, F-R-O-T-Z. It's free. Give it a go.
Oh, that sounds fun. That does sound fun, actually. I quite like the sound of that. And I love the fact you're using the keyboard as well.
Yeah, loving the keyboard. And I sounded like I had so much energy there. It's a different me.
Remember those days?
Yeah. I have played it a lot since, actually. I've got really far with Anchorhead, and I've tried a couple of other ones as well. Yeah, love it. Really love it.
I have a theory, Andy, about Robin. I don't all think right. I know he's been busy. All right, I know he's been busy with Gad last week and all that.
Yes,
I think he's been up late playing Frotts too much. If I'm honest, I think that's the problem, right there. Right, look, it's time for this, guys. Come on, let's get the emails
email.
Out.
We get email.
Yep.
We get your email every day.
We get your email at home.
Here's your mail today.
And Andy's been checking out the inbox.
One of the messages I gave to Stephen before we started recording was that we have 6 pages of emails, Stephen. He let out a gasp.
And I said, good, we'll get to them before 1:30. And that didn't happen.
Almost.
As it never does. Anyway, look, we've got loads of emails. Let's get into what we can.
Yeah, this one's more aimed at you, Stephen. Dirrell, there was a time when I was a gadget-holic too. I love the thought of all things bright and shiny and new.
And this is an intervention.
I think so, yeah. You're in trouble at the
start. He's had treatment since. He's still taking the tablets.
An iPad tablet.
Waking up in cold sweats, yes. Yes, I would have loved the thought of all things bright and shiny and new, and I would have been a shopkeeper's delight, as I always thought that the more expensive it was, the better it must be. Stephen.
I don't know who you're looking at here, Andy. I don't know. It can't be me.
Fortunately, it was mostly in my head due to the usual constraints. I still can't resist wanting to know more about new things. However, and Stephen has whetted my appetite again with talk of the new iPhone SE. We now know about the new processor and the greater speed, etc. But, in a way, that's all irrelevant. All that matters is whether it really is so much better than the old model for use by blind people. Is it easier to use in any way? Are the screens any easier to navigate? And so on. How about a full review of it in action? As I am just a gadget-holic in recovery, please don't tempt me anymore unless it's really worth it. All the very best. That's from Barry.
So don't give me a drink, but if you could just give me a small drink, that would be fine. It's an interesting one because I have been using this SE now and I've got the 11 Pro in the cupboard. I mean, it was just ridiculous when you think about it, but an 11 Pro in the cupboard. And I'm holding on to it for one simple reason, because I love the camera on it and I can use it for a lot of my video work I do. So it's a great camera for on the move, and it just is auto everything and it just always works and it's great. It's lovely. But for my daily iPhone, it is the SE. And you'd think, well, if you've got an iPhone 11 Pro, surely you'd want to just stick with that. But the truth is, I just didn't go on with Face ID. I found the whole gesture swiping thing from the bottom just really irritating. It works sometimes, not others. Didn't really know what was going on half the time. I just prefer the Touch ID as well. Now, what you're asking me, though, is what's the difference between the original SE and the new SE? Well, look, for me, the answer's quite clear. The original SE isn't going to be updated, if at all any longer, if it even is being updated anymore. And you're going to lose out on security features, operating system updates. My last experience with my old SE was that it was running very hot. Battery was really heating up when I was using it, and it wasn't much fun to use. I had to put it in a case just to use it because it was that warm. And it also just wasn't performing as well. I mean, it's okay, don't get me wrong. It was a good phone. I liked it. But, you know, it wasn't performing quite as well. It was slowing down with the OS updates. And ultimately, the one thing about the new SE is that it's got a slightly bigger screen. It's got a 4.7-inch screen. Now, it doesn't sound like much. You've got a 4-inch screen on the SE. You think, well, what's the difference? What 0.7 of an inch is going to make any difference? But the way that they've done it, the way they've designed this, it's kind of widened the phone a little bit. So it may not increase too much in terms of height, but it's widened a little bit. And I do think that makes a difference when you're navigating. You know, I've talked to you before, I've got the fat finger syndrome, where, you know, I've got the fingers swiping across the screen. My fingers were always kind of off the edge with the SE because of the size of it. Whereas with this phone, I feel my fingers are always firmly on the screen. I'm able to navigate, move around without my fingers coming off the side. And I like that when I'm swiping around. So I do think the overall experience is better. Of course, it's more powerful. It's got the same processor in it as the 11 Pro. So, no issue there. The camera is brilliant, if you care. I don't really. I mean, it does what I need it to do. People on Be My Eyes use my camera more than I do, and they seem happy enough. So, you know, that's all good. And that's it for me. I mean, I can do a full review of it if you like, but truthfully, you know, I can tell you everything there is to know about this phone, but if you're using an old SE and you're going to go to this, you're going to notice a big difference in terms of power, in terms of speed, in terms of reaction when using VoiceOver. You won't get any lag anymore. And, of course, it will work with everything. I think it's a great little phone. The only difference with the home button, of course, which was a real physical home button on the SE, this one is haptic. So, you know, you don't actually have a physical button. And I quite like that because you don't get anything stuck in it, like bits of chicken, like I could do with the SE. Or was that just me?
I totally agree. Not about the chicken, but about everything you've just said. It's really, really good phone. And it really is just a bump up from the 8. So if anyone is familiar with that form factor, then they're going to be very familiar with this. I think the only reason to have a larger screen, if you've got no vision, if you're a voiceover user, potentially, particularly if you've got fat fingers, is for Braille on-screen input.
Yes.
And battery life. But this has definitely got an all-day battery. And if you've ever had a go of Braille screen input on this 4.7-inch screen and it's doable for you, then great. You know, I can't see any other benefit at all, and I still want my Touch ID. I'm not going to say goodbye to that anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't think the phone's big enough for me to do Braille screen input. Braille screen, I can't speak. But the problems you've got, I'm almost as tired as you. The Braille screen input, I don't think it's big enough for me. There is a rumour of an iPhone SE Max coming out. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I tend to think it probably isn't true, but, you know, what do I know? I don't have any inside information. I'm not John Prosser, for goodness sake. I just make stuff up and hope it comes true. But this is... this is a great little phone. And yeah, it is a bump up from the 8. If you've got the 8 and you're thinking, should I get the SE? I'd say no. I don't think there's any point in doing that upgrade. I'd argue about the 7 because you're getting a bit older then. So maybe a 7 to an SE. But I've actually got an iPhone 7 that my work, R&IB, give me. And it's actually pretty good, you know. I don't do that much with it, in fairness. I tend to stick to the basics on it's Outlook, it's you know, calls, texts, Skype meetings, it's that kind of stuff. It's all kind of business focused stuff. I'm not running Netflix on it. I'm not running any apps to do anything particularly. Not needing it for banking. I'm not storing up lots of content on there. But no, I love the SE. I do, and the battery life is very good on it. I mean, I've never had a problem with the battery. I mean, and of course, the one major difference, which, you know, I often overlook, but as I'm sitting here today, it's sitting on a wireless charger. And, you know, the wireless charging does make a heck of a difference. I mean, if you get a little stand for it, or, you know, a lie down one or a stand up one, whatever you prefer, it's great. It's really, really good because you've just got it there. And if you're using it with your keyboard or your Braille display, it's a joy. It's the best combination, honestly. Best company and great price.
Yeah, definitely.
I would buy two.
I'd recommend a stand-up stand, what they would call an easel stand, I think. I got one called Rav from Rav Power. That's all one word. About £15. Because when you plop it on there, it's very satisfying. It's exactly in the right place. Whereas with mats, there's always a bit of a question mark over that. So yeah, just plop it on a Rav Power. And you're away.
I've probably done that for the same reason, but I'd never really thought about it. But you're right. If you actually, when you put it on it, you know it's working. You know it's there. And you get that satisfying haptic buzz as well. So you know that it's charging. And if you've got a voiceover, I'll tell you, it's charging as well. But it's really nice. And it charges up fast. It is a great companion. So, you know, that and my little MacBook Air, which isn't working at the moment, but will be better soon. It's quite a combination, quite frankly. And my Braille display. Oh, I've got all I need and more. Right, come on. What else can we sell people, Andy? Come on, what's next?
What's that thing
I feel like I'm on QVC here.
I was going to say, are you applying for QVC here? Right, the next email from Andrew Coleman at Galloway's. He says...
Oh, Andrew, I know he's been messaging me on Facebook. I feel bad because I haven't got back in touch with him. He's going to hate me now.
He was on back on episode 321. He says, hello, Stephen and the gang at Tech Talk. In reply to Richard's email regarding making phone calls with Synaptic, I can confirm that Synaptic have now included a built-in number keypad that works over speaker when making calls that require number keypad input, for example, automated calls. The update came in the latest update to version 7. It's possible that Richard has not updated recently and therefore has been taken directly to the Android call screen instead of Synaptic's new call screen number keypad. I think that this would be much easier than using an external keyboard, and for low vision users, I can confirm that the new Synaptic in-call number keypad still adopts the same colour scheme and large print that has been set by the user. I think this has been an issue for some time, so that the update from Synaptic has been well received. I know it was something that they have been wanting to do, but I think that they had some restrictions accessing certain functions of Android OS, which meant that they were unable to incorporate this function. Cheers. Yes, as I said, that's from Andrew at Galloway's.
Well, thank you, Andrew. I appreciate you getting in touch with the answer for Richard there. I really appreciate that. Okay, what else?
Further to the recent conversation, RE bus apps, I feel that I must ask you to highlight the really useful bus app for voiceover users in Scotland, which is called ScotTalk. In summary, you can store favourite bus stops, nearby stops, and look at the timetables. Two unusual features are a button to give you directions to a selected stop, and once you're on a bus, the bus stops are announced as you approach them. The developers of this app have been extremely willing to take feedback on board, and I use this all very often. And that's from Richard.
Ah, excellent. Well, that's an interesting one. I have heard of it, never used it. And I doubt I'll be using it anytime soon either. But that's a really interesting one, Robin, because, I mean, it is in Scotland only.
It sounds like we could do with it down here.
Yeah, we need England Talk. Yep. No. Scott Talk, which actually would be a great name for a talk show for me. I might steal that. Right, what else?
Well, just to say,
that's a podcast coming soon.
Yes, put that in the to-do list. Yeah. By the way, that email was from Richard Foster in Aberdeen, who then also emailed in a couple of days ago saying, "Hello to all you wonderful people. Just to update you, I now have a Bluetooth keyboard which has been paired to my Synaptic phone. It's working a dream, and thanks to your advice and encouragement, I'm extremely grateful. Incidentally," he says, "a bonus is that it smells absolutely lovely."
Wow.
So yes, that's from Richard.
Is that the Logitech
theme going here?
I know, but it's funny you say that because I thought my Logitech smelled quite nice as well.
Smells like Robin's trainers.
Yeah, everything smells like Robin's trainers. Glorious.
Without any extra charge.
Can I ask a question, Robin? Do you have a sense of smell?
Yeah.
Right, because I was a bit worried for a second there.
It's not that I do sweat, but I don't smell.
You've got absolutely no idea that they stink.
Family are really, really polite as well.
Well, they're such a polite family, the Christoffersons, you know. Okay, well, that's good. And Richard, obviously now you've heard the answer from Andrew regarding your query. That may be another solution. But don't send the Bluetooth keyboard back because it's great. Mm. You will like it. Anyway, good. I'm glad we got all that sorted out. Okay, what else have we got, Andy?
Hi, everyone. Thank you for an informative show as ever. I'm glad you're feeling better now, Stephen. As for the NHS track and trace up, not touching that one at all, I find that government initiatives tend to fall by the wayside at some point, so I'll see what happens. I suspect that they'll use it for other things when COVID-19 is eventually gone, which is going to be in the dim and distant future. I enjoyed the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but much preferred Captain Crimen.
Crimen.
As for the SE2 2020, I'll stick with the iPhone 11. I think I'm quite happy with that one. That email is from Peter in Nottingham.
Ah, good, Peter. Well, I would not encourage you to move away from an iPhone 11. I know I did, but I wouldn't encourage it. If you're happy with the 11, that's great, and you're not going to get better with the SE, frankly, if you're used to it. You're not going to swap, unless you want to swap Face ID for Touch ID, really. That's the only thing. I'm going to skip over Hitchhiker's Guide. I'm sick hearing about it.
Said about it, better. We should mention, as he talked about, contact tracing, etc.
Yes.
So 13.5 is out, as we all know. It has that facility built in. The UK government...
This is Apple's iOS.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And the new version of Android has it live now as well. But we know that the UK government has declined to use it. And we also saw a press release last week that said that their contact tracing app is now it's pushed back till June.
Oh dear. Okay, well, that's going to be a huge success. Right, okay, let's move on. Let's not do politics in this programme. Just don't get me started. Right, what else have we got, Andy? Time for one or two more.
Okay, this one's from Kelvin. Hi, Stephen, Robin and Andy. Great job with the show. Thank you. On a previous show, Robin mentioned having indexing issues with the Voice Dream Reader. and I have been having the same. I've uninstalled the app and reinstalled it, but I still have the problem. A book or magazine will stop playing, and then when I tap on the play button, it will resume at a much earlier point in the recording, which is really frustrating. I've contacted the developer to no avail, and then assumed it was just a one-off applying to just me. Secondly, for about 6 months, I've been using the Track AVA app to track Amazon prices, as so far literally everything that I've put into the tracker has been reduced at some stage, and it seems that Amazon prices go up and down like a fiddler's elbow. Bose frames, lavazza coffee machines, security cameras, and often the savings have been huge. The app is fully accessible with voiceover. So yes, that's from Kelvin.
Oh, thank you, Kelvin. Yeah, I must say, any way we can save money, especially right now, because I mean, put it this way, the guy dropped off a parcel yesterday to me, and when I opened the door, he said, "Hi, Stephen." So you know where we are. And, you know, I thought it was just because my name was on the parcel. It wasn't. It was actually for my wife. So that tells you he knew me. Yeah, let's just say we're on good terms with Amazon around here. Okay, thank you for that, Kelvin. And obviously, Robin, he feels your pain regarding Voice Stream Reader.
Anyone out there with a solution, please let us know, because it's a great app. But you want to pick up where you left off, don't you?
Yeah, well, that's exactly, yeah. I've found this with the Amazon Echo sometimes as well. Not all the time. Sometimes she'll lose the place, and you'll find that suddenly she's reading a chapter, and you think, hang on a minute, I haven't gone that far yet, or whatever. So, you know,
you obviously
can jump around a bit easier. Well, that's the other problem, yes. Falling asleep doesn't help either. Okay, I think we're out of time. We will leave it there. I wish we had more time, but we don't. But we'll do this again next week. We'll pick up where we left off. I think that's just managed to go through half of one page of the six. And there'll be another 12 next week. So, yeah. But we'll get into that next week. Thank you again to Andy for reading those out. Really appreciate that,
anytime.
Andy. Robin, thank you for coming on. I know you're tired. I really appreciate it, because I know you've got a busy week. Ability Summit, I must admit, I am really looking forward to.
Yeah.
I know you are as well. You're not taking part in it, but you are obviously listening to everything, as will I. So really looking forward to hearing what comes out of that next week. And we'll bring you all the news and more of your emails as well. Keep them coming to us. Even though we're at home, we still get access to everything. So get in touch with us, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. We really do appreciate you sticking with us through all of this chaos. And hopefully you get a bit of respite from everybody talking about the dreaded virus here, because we're not going to do that here. It's a tech show. That's what we're here for. We'll talk about tech as much as we can. So yeah, that's it for our show this week. Thank you again. Don't forget to check out the podcast. And if you missed last week's extra show, it's in the feed right now. Go to our RNIB Tech Talk podcast feed, and you can listen to our special Global Accessibility Awareness Day special with Robin Christofferson and RNIB's Robin Spinks. Check it all out. It's on the podcast feed right now. Catch you next week, guys.